Let me begin this morning with a question. Who is the bravest person that you've ever read about, saw a movie about? Who is the bravest person, according to you? If you had to name the bravest person, you might have been a biography you read, it might have been a movie you watched, but here's what I can bet you, that whoever that is, you believe they're brave because of the way they acted. And maybe they took action during a time when nobody else was willing to take action. But they acted. And I wonder if that's why you consider them to be brave. Because normally we look at the idea of being brave along with the idea of acting, doing something when nobody else is willing to do it, standing up when nobody else will stand up. Those are all things that we think about when we think about being brave. Now, we're in part three of a series called I'm Scared, where we've just been looking at this whole idea of fear and what's going on around us. So week one was all about this idea of three in one, that there are three big fears all combining into one, and that's kind of why this is such a big deal that's going on with us right now. Last week, if you joined us, we were looking at the story of the 12 spies, that Joshua and Caleb are two spies who said, we can go take this land. The other 10 gave a bad report. In fact, they spoke bad about the grace of God. And so the nation decided to go with the 10 and not the 2, and they missed the promised land. And we said last week, who are you listening to that you need to stop listening to? And who do you need to start listening to? And we encourage you this week to what? Open your Bibles and listen to God and let Him increase your faith and speak into your life during this time. So this morning I want to talk about this idea that now is the time to act. Now is the time to act. Now's the time that God is calling us to actually rise up and be the church that we are supposed to be. To do that, I want to continue looking at the life of Joshua. Because Joshua's life does not end when he comes back and him and Caleb are giving this good report and everybody goes with the 10 guys who gave a bad report. No, his story continues. And he takes over from Moses and he gets the opportunity to lead the people into the promised land. His story is found in the book of Joshua. And so we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1 because there's something that God says to him three times in a matter of four verses that I think is really important for us to know. So Joshua chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you can go to the Bible app, to the events, and you can read it all there and follow along with us. So starting verse 1. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land that I am ready to hand you over to them. I'm handing over to you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Then he begins to talk about your territory, where it's going to spread and what it's going to be. But he's calling him to what? Joshua? It's time to act. He continues, verse 5, no one will be able to resist you for all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. This is God's great promise to us. It doesn't matter where we're at or what's going on. God says, I'm going with you. Joshua, I don't expect you to do this alone. I'm going with you. And what happened for the early church? Did they just have to go and preach the gospel and good luck, figure it out? No, the Holy Spirit went with them. God went with them. As he goes with us, we are not abandoned, we are not alone. And God said, Joshua, do you get this? I don't expect you to do this all by yourself. I need you to act. I need you to act now, but you're not going alone. He continues. Verse number 6. Be strong and brave. There's our saying. And he's going to say this three times coming up here. Be strong and be brave. Some of your translations will say be strong and courageous. Hazak amat. Those are the two Hebrew words that God uses here to say, listen, do you understand? I need you to be strong. I need you to be courageous because I need you to act. I am calling you, Joshua, to do something, not just talk. I need you to lead the people. I need you to act. So he continues on. Be strong and brave. You must lead the people into the conquest of the land that I solemnly promised their ancestors I would hand over to them. Make sure you are very strong and brave. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left so that you may be successful in all that you do. This law scroll must not leave your lips. You must memorize it day and night so you can be careful to obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. I repeat, because God's making sure he gets this, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, don't panic, for I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do. It's a great passage because it's Joshua. I have something for you to do. I need you to do it. And brave and strong is I'm going with you and I need you to act. And what happens when you flip the pages of the book of Joshua? They do what? They cross the Jordan River. They defeat Jericho. Now, they didn't get it always right. There were some times they forgot to ask God. They forgot to bring God into it. But Joshua needed to act because being brave is about acting. It's about taking action, and it's about doing it a lot of times when nobody else is taking action and when nobody else is doing it. When everybody is almost paralyzed by fear, those who are brave take action, and they do what God has called them to do. And I think that's so important right now. Do you remember Jesus told this parable of a master who gives talents, and that was money, to three different servants, and he sends them off, and he brings them back to give a report. And the last servant said, well, you gave more to the other two. I was afraid, so I buried it in the ground, and I hid it, and I didn't do anything with it. Here it is. And what happened? He was afraid, he was paralyzed by fear, and he never acted like he needed to. And I'm wondering if that's going on now. We are so at times paralyzed with fear with what's going on. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. And today is Palm Sunday. I think it's a great day to talk about this because Jesus did what he was called to do. If you read the Gospel of John, John and the other disciples, they are really scared to go to Jerusalem. They know it's not going to go well in Jerusalem. They know this. And so they're nervous and they're scared and what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And along the way, they keep saying, let's not go there. Thomas at one point says, well, I guess we should just go with them. Let's just die. Because they didn't know what to do. And Jesus knew what to do. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to go lay down my life. I'm gonna die on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven. I'm gonna rise again on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And so that Sunday, that Palm Sunday, as he comes into Jerusalem and everybody's cheering for him, he knows how the story's gonna end. And to go to Jerusalem is an act of courage, it's an act of bravery, because he knows what is coming next. But Jesus acts. The whole week, this whole Holy Week coming up, is Jesus doing what? Washing the disciples' feet? He's having Passover with them and celebrating communion. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, is there any other way? And on Friday, he lays down his life for our sins. To Sunday, being raised to life. It is an amazing week of Jesus doing everything the Father has called him to do. And I'm asking, are we doing that? Are we doing everything that God has called us to do? Because in this time, it is time for the church to rise up. It is time for the church to do what God has called the church to do. And sometimes we just forget that. We forget. We forget what we've been called to do. We forget what we've been asked to do. So what I wanted to do today was really focus on now is the time for action. And I want to call us as a church, as a body of Christ, as fellow followers of Jesus, I want to call us to action. The time to act is now. We don't need to wait anymore. We don't need to hope that, you know, somebody else will do it. It is our time. I think for far too long, we have just taken our responsibilities that Jesus gave us to help and serve and to love people, and we just kind of handed that off. Hey, let the government do it. Let these other groups do it. And we've missed everything that God has asked us to do. And so now we have this opportunity right now to do everything he has called us to do. So I'm saying, church, let's do it. And so I want to call us very specifically to do some things starting today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to say, oh, I can start this in a couple days. No, no, no. You can start today. You can start today. You're going to need to encourage one another to do this. And if you're going to do this, you're going to need to be brave. And you're going to need to act. And you need to do what God has called us to do. So here we go. There's three things that I want to focus on in the next few minutes here. The first one is I think we need to pray. I think this is a call for the church to pray that we've forgotten about, that we've just passed off to, oh yeah, we gather on Wednesday nights and we collect some prayer requests. And it's not that that's bad, but we have just not prayed that God would do something great in our world. It's revival or bust. And you know what? God is working in the midst of all of this. And let me tell you how I know that. The online platform that we've been using, that every church, I think, has been using, that has crashed the last two Sundays. Here's what they do now. In the midst of all this crashing and people getting on sometimes and not on other times, here's what they know. In the past 2 weeks, there have been 90,000 salvations. Is that a lot? That's a lot. That's a lot. Wow, God is working in the midst of this. 90,000 salvations. And if it hadn't crashed at all, we don't know how big that number could be. Right? How big that number is. We have no idea. But this is a time where it seems that God is working in the hearts of people, and so we need to be praying along those lines. So here's my specific question to you. Who do you need to be praying for? You know they're far from God. You know that they used to follow Jesus and things happened in their life and they kind of drifted away. You know that to be true. So who do you need to be praying for? Who? Write that person's name down. Put it in a place where you will see it every single day. And you be praying for them. They need your prayers. Our world needs our prayers. I mean, we should be praying for what's going on in our world. Unite714.com. Okay? Unite714.com. The group of churches we're a part of, ARC, that is a prayer call that they're doing. And it's praying at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 at night. And this is happening all across the globe, that people are being called to do that. I'm a part of a group that prays at 8 o'clock every night. And I get a reminder on Facebook, hey, it's 8 o'clock. We need to be praying. Are we praying for what's going on, that God would work? Have we just forgot to pray that way about what's happening in our world, that God would work? And then I'm going to call you and I'm going to ask you to be a part of a prayer meeting this week. We're going to do a Zoom meeting Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Now, for a lot of you in our church, I know you're working with our youth. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. For the rest of us, I'm just going to ask that we would gather on Zoom and we would take an opportunity to pray for one another, pray for what's going on in our world, and pray for this Easter. Because this Easter can be an incredible moment of seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. So who's the one person? Come on. You got their name? Write it down. Who's the one person that you need to be praying for? Pray for them this week. Pray that God would work in the midst of it. And join us for our prayer meeting. Number two is invite. You've heard me tell you over and over again that Easter is one of those Sundays that people are open to an invitation. They're open to it. Well, nothing has changed this Easter. I know we're not in the same building. We're not going to be in the same building. But isn't it true? Hasn't it been hard to get some people to a building? It might have been challenging. Maybe you ran into people like I have before said, well, you don't understand. Okay, I've been such a bad person. If I walk into the building, it's going to collapse on me. Well, that's not true. But how do you convince them of that? Well, they don't believe their house is going to collapse on them, do they? So invite them. Give them a link. We're going to send you links this week and make sure you know how to best direct them. But invite somebody. People are going to be more open this year than ever. And just because we are not in the same building doesn't mean we aren't celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And we're doing that together as a church family and inviting anybody who wants to join in, be part of what it means to follow Jesus. So you got the first two things. I want you to pray. I want you to invite. And number three, I want you to engage. I think now is the time to engage. Okay, the first two can be done more right and quiet a little bit, you know, praying for somebody. But then, you know, you kind of step out and you start inviting people. What about engaging? So I'm going to give you three suggestions. You don't have to do any of these three. I'm sure some of you can come up with some great ideas. Some of you are already doing things. Keep it up. Keep going. Keep helping people. I know some of you have been sending cards over to the nursing home. You've been finding ways to help and encourage people right now in everything that's going on. Please keep it up. Keep doing those things. That is so important that we keep doing those things and we keep helping and serving one another. So let me make three suggestions. The first one is that helping hand always needs help. And they always need help with food. And in fact, I asked, and here is their current list. And this list, a lot of times, is just the way it is, okay? So here it is, current list. You can write this down. Hamburger helper, Spam, chili beans, ranch dressing, and ketchup. Isn't that a great combination? Well, look at that again. Hamburger helper, Spam, chili beans, ranch dressing, ketchup. Those are the things they need. So next time you're at the store, grab one. Grab one of these things. Drop it off at Helping Hand. If you're not comfortable doing that, then bring it to my house. I'll take it there, okay? You might have someone else in the church who can take it there for you. But let's do that. Let's start there with a place in our community that helps people desperately in need, and we can help them help people who are in need. So grab one of those items this week, and let's make a difference, and let's help Helping Hand reach people this very week. Number two, the second thing, and I thought of this when I saw this on the news because some of you, I think, are really gifted in our church to be able to do this. I will share this on YouTube and through email and different things, okay? This is a simple statement that was put out by the Iowa Department of Public Health, where they're looking for people to help make masks. Homemade masks. As you know, PPE is a huge thing right now, right? We don't have enough things to go around and to help our healthcare workers. And so they put these guidelines out so you can make these masks and you can help those who need it. And there's directions here of what they need to be and the kind of materials you got to have to make it. Some of you can do this very easily. Some of you can include other members of your family in on it. Your kids, your teenagers, this would be a great idea. Well, what if the church rose up and did this? And so our healthcare workers went, wow, the church cares. The church is on our side. The church has rose up to help us. How incredible a testimony would that would be that we're here helping them in the time they need it the most. They're like, well, the church has risen up and the church is on our side. Third thing I'd like for you to do is reach out to a neighbor. And these can be very simple things to do. Some of you have neighbors who might need help getting some groceries because they have some underlying conditions. They're at a certain age. where it's safer for them not to go into public, and you could help them out. We're entering spring, and so there's things outside that might need to be done, and maybe the help they've had before isn't able to come, and you're able to step up and help out. But I want you to think about one person in your neighborhood that you could reach out to, that you could help, that you could serve. Why? Because now is the time to act. Now's the time to act. Not next week, not a year from now. It is now. What's going on is an unprecedented event. And this is an unprecedented time for the church to rise up and be the church. See, the church has done this before. And the church has not done this before. Sometimes the church has gotten this right. And we've risen up and we have seen entire nations get changed because of it. And there's times we haven't. And we've let somebody else step in. Now is not the time for somebody else to step in. It's time for us to rise up and be the church. So this week, what are you going to do? You're going to pray. Got that one person? You're going to pray for what's going on? Join our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We want you to invite, because people are going to be open to an invitation. They don't have to leave their house. They can tune in. They can watch us. They can pull up the link and engage. Maybe it's getting something and taking it to Helping Hands. Maybe it's working together and making a mask and making several of them and sending them to a facility that really needs it. And perhaps it's reaching out to a neighbor. But God has called us to be brave. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So it's time for us to rise up, church. It's time for us to act. The time is now. So let me pray for us and with us that God would just help us this week. Be praying, be inviting, and be engaging. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us this week? Put that one person in our mind that we need to pray for. And help us to join in with other believers praying for this thing to end. And praying for revival and praying that you would work in people's lives. Help us to invite. We all know somebody far from you, and we know people who have drifted. They've been hurt. They've gone through some hard things, and they've drifted away. Easter's a great time to come back. And would you help us to engage? Would you remind us we are the church? Yeah, we're not meeting in a building right now. We are the church, and you've called us to be the church. You've called us to be your hands and feet and reach out to a world that is in need. Forgive us for all the times we have pushed those responsibilities aside and we've let somebody else do it. Help us now to rise up and be what you've called us to be. Father, we thank you. Continue your great work in our life. Help us to rise up. Help us to be brave. Help us to do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us. Next Sunday is Easter. Going to be a great Sunday. Invite people. Pray for people. We are just trusting that this is going to be a great week of celebrating all that God wants to do in our hearts and lives. Have a great week.